Okay, so the Mishnah again says, Etzem kedei lasos tarvad, Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei lasos mimenu chas. So again, we're still discussing how much of a certain item you have to carry out in order to be chayav on Shabbos. So when it comes to carrying out a bone, according to the Chachamim, you have to carry out enough of the bone to make it into a spoon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's enough to make it into a key. Again, the Gemara is going to define and explain that in a second. Zechuches kedei ligror bo rosh hakarkar. When it comes to carrying out glass, so the shear for carrying glass is enough to cut the top of what's called a bobbin. A bobbin was this thing they used to use to cut string when they were using a loom, like to weave. Tsuroro evan kedei lizrok bo'of, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer kedei lizrok bevehima. When it comes to carrying out stones, rocks, pebbles, things like that, it's enough to either throw at a bird or at an animal. Again, we'll see in the Gemara exactly what that means. Okay, so the Gemara asks the question that we already asked twice on yesterday's daf, which I already mentioned comes up a few times. Lememra de shiura de Rabbi Yehuda nafish, hakaimalan de shiura de Rabbana nafish. How can we say, again, this is referring back to the first example in the Mishnah regarding the bone, that Rabbi Yehuda's shear is larger? The implication is that the amount of bone you would need to form a key is larger than that for a spoon. How could you possibly say that if we already established a few times on yesterday's daf and previous dafim that Rabbi Yehuda's shear typically is smaller than that of the Chachamim? So the Gemara says, you're right, the Gemara says, Amar Ula Chafi Posachas, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda was not talking about making an actual key, but rather the teeth of the key. In other words, that's why you would use the bone, which is obviously going to be much smaller than the size of a spoon. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Chafi Posachas Tehorin, Kivan Bifosachas Temeyen, Vishalgal Afal Pisha This is really just parenthetical because the Gemara just mentioned the teeth of a key, so the Gemara just mentions like a halacha regarding Tumma Vitara in that regard. So the Gemara says, if you have just the teeth of the keys themselves, those have no use. They have no function. You can't do anything with just the teeth of a key by themselves, so they're not Mekabel Tumma. The second that you attach them to the actual body of the key, then they become a functional key, and therefore they're Mekabel Tumma. However, the teeth of a lock, even when they're attached to the lock, are not mekabel tumah, because a lock is attached to a house, typically, or something attached to the ground, and we know that anything which is attached to the ground is not mekabel tumah. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Zechuches kedei ligrobo. We gave the example of the glass that's used to cut the strings of the bobbin, the thing that you use when you're using the loom or when you're weaving. So the Gemara says, Tana, Zechuches kedei liftsoa bo shnei nimen ka'achas. It has to be, the glass has to be sharp enough or big enough to cut two pieces of string at the same time. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Sororo evan kedei lizrok ba'of Rabbi Elazar. We had a machlokas, how large the stone has to be, enough either to throw at an animal or enough to throw at a bird. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hushem argeshes ba. The animal or bird has to sense or has to feel that the rock is hitting it. V'chama shi'uro, so how big does that rock have to be? Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer mishkal asaro zuz. The rock has to weigh at least 10 zuz. Okay. Now the Gemara gets into what would probably be classified more as a brachos topic, a topic regarding halachos of using the bathroom. And the reason why we're getting into this topic is completely parenthetical. It's because we're discussing carrying rocks to use as basically toilet paper, essentially, on Shabbos. And then the Gemara kind of gets a little bit sidetracked with this topic. Okay, so the Gemara
a bird example with the size of the rock. If I'm throwing a rock at a hummingbird or throwing a rock at an ostrich,
yeah,
those are two different shiurim.
You're right. It's a good question. Yeah. The Mishnah doesn't specify what type of animal, although the Gemara does say the animal has to feel it. So that almost sounds subjective, but then the Gemara gives you a specific weight of the rock. So I don't know if the Mishnah had like a specific animal in mind or if it was just like most animals will feel this. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a fair point. I'm not sure. Okay, so the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Zunin Olive Midrash. Zunin was the name of an Amora. He went up to the base Medrash. Amar Lehu Rabosai, Avanim Shal Besak, he says, Shuran Bechama. He asked them, how, in other words, he was asking them, what is the shear of bathroom stones? Again, this is obviously a crude form of toilet paper, basically. So he wanted to know, what is the shear of a bathroom rock that you're allowed to carry on Shabbos? So Amru Lo, Kizayis Ke'egozu Chabetza. They said to him, it has to be either the size of a nut, the size of an olive, or the size of an egg. So Amar Lahu Suzun instead of a chitra tana yachnis. What, you think the guy's walking into the bathroom with a scale and measuring every rock to make sure it's exactly the right way? It's crazy. So they said, you're right. Nimnu vigamru malo hayad. So they took a vote from all the chachamim in the base measures and they said, really on Shabbos, what you can do is just take a handful of rocks. That's it. In other words, just, you know, take enough toilet paper for what you need and don't drive yourself crazy. Tanya, Reb Yossi Omer, Kezayis, Kegos, Uchabetza, Reb Shimon, Reb Yossi Omer, Mishomov, Vimogo Hayad. And the Gemara says this was in fact a machlokas, whether you have to be, you know, exacting or very precise about the size of the rocks, or no, just, you know, take a handful of rocks and call it a day. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Gimel Avana Mikruzalos Mutter Lahachnis Leves Akisei. A person is permitted to take three sharp rocks into the bathroom. The Chama Shi'uran, so how big are these rocks? Rameir Omer Ke'egos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kebeitza. So Amar Rafram Bar Papa Amar Rav Chista, Kemachlukes Kan Kach Machlukes Be'esru. Just as we have a Machlukes regarding the size of these bathroom rocks, we have a similar Machlukes regarding the minimum size of an Esru. So the Gemara asks, Hasem Asnis and Hacha Breisa, what do you mean? In the context of an esrog, that's an explicit Mishnah in Masechah Sukkah. In other words, if anything, the Gemara should have said, just so we have a machlokas by esrog, so do we have a machlokas here. This is just a brisa. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elokim machlokas by esrog, kach machlokas kan. The Gemara reverses it. Just as we find a machlokas in the context of an esrog, so too we find a machlokas here as well. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, avaloas a pious. You're not allowed to carry pious on Shabbos. What is that? My pious? Amar Rav Zera, karshine bavliasta. There are clumps of dirt from Bavel. So apparently some people used to use this like to wipe themselves, but the thing was is that because this was very it was like flaky, it would come apart in your hands, so therefore you were not allowed to carry it on Shabbos. Amar Rava, Asher lemashmish b'tzura b'Shabbos k'derech shememashmish b'chol. One is not permitted to use a rock on Shabbos to manipulate their bowels. And for example, if a person wants to get themselves to go to the bathroom, they want to, you know, manipulate the rock in such a way to cause themselves to go to the bathroom, they would not be allowed to do that the way that they would during the week. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maskeflam residual is stucky. If the guy has to go to the bathroom, so what? You're going to tell him not to do that? You're going to tell him, like imagine that a person is constipated and he has like a way to go to the bathroom, but you're telling him not to do it on Shabbos. So what, you're going to make the guy sit there in pain the whole Shabbos because you're not going to let him do that? Gemara says, no. Gemara says, kila achar yad. You should just do it with the shinui. In other words, you know, I don't know, use your left hand or whatever with the rock if you really have to go to the bathroom. Amar Rabbi Yanai, im yesh makom kavua lebeis akisei malo hayad, im lav ke'echrei medocha ketana shal besamin. So Rabbi Yanai says, if you have a fixed place, a set place where you go to the bathroom, then you can take a handful of rocks. Because even if you don't end up using all of them, you could just leave them in the bathroom, you know, for somebody else to use. But if you don't have a fixed place for the bathroom, then you have to be more exacting about how many rocks you take. You can only take just enough, you know, the size of a small mortar and pestle of spices. Amar Rav Sheshes, Em Yesh Aleha Eid Mutter. If the rock has these markings on it that indicate that it's being used as a bathroom rock, then it's going to be mutter to carry. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, Asara Dvar Mevinas Adam Lidei Tachtonios. This we also had actually in Brachos. There are 10 things that lead to hemorrhoids. The Eluin, Ha'ochel Ale Kanim Ba'ale Gefanim. If a person eats the leaves of a certain kind of a tree, like a bulrush tree, or you eat the leaves of a grapevine, the Luve Gefanim, or the shoots of a grapevine, Umorige Behima Belo Melach, or the tongue of an animal without salt, the Shidro Shaldag, or the spine of a fish, the Dag Maliach Shalobishal Kol Tsarko, or salted fish that wasn't fully cooked. V'hashosa shimrei yayin, or you drink the dregs of wine. And this is the part that's going to be relevant for us. V'hamikaneach b'sidu v'charsis, one who wipes using lime or earthenware. B'tsror shekineach b'chavero, or with a rock that somebody else used. V'yeshomer mafatola atzmo v'sakise, and some say even one who suspends themselves in the bathroom, which basically means someone who pushes too hard. So the Gemara says, don't you see from here that using earthenware is a problem, or that using a rock that someone else uses a problem? The Gemara says, no, lo kashi habalach habiyavish, it depends. The first answer the Gemara gives, it depends if the rock was moist or if it was dry. If the rock was moist, so then the assumption is that it's not so bad to use it even if someone else did. If it was dry, then it's a problem. That's one answer. Then it depends if the guy used both sides of the rock or just one side. If you only use one side, then you could use the other side. And then v'ibayisema, third answer, hadidea dechavre, it depends if you yourself used this rock in the past or if somebody else used it. Fine. So, Omer Le'abai, yeah.
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, this is talking about rocks. What happens if someone wanted to use a leaf instead?
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, actually, in the Gemara. We'll see that in a little bit, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omer Le'abai Le'Rav Yosef, Yardu Aleha Gesham V'Netash Tishu Mahu. What if it started to rain, and now the rain starts to erase or to rub out all of the different markings on the rock? Again, remember we said before that the rock has a marking on it that makes it clear that it's a bathroom rock, then you're allowed to carry it. What if the rain came and started to you know, basically rub away all of the markings, what would the halacha be? So Amar Lei, it says, Imhaya Rishuma Nikar Mutter, as long as you can tell that the markings are still there, meaning it's not faded completely, then it's still okay. Okay. But Amine Rabba Barav Shila Merav Chista, Mahu Laha Alosam Acharav Lagag. Let's say, for example, you have a bathroom on the roof of your house or whatever it is. Are you allowed to carry these rocks up to the roof? What exactly is the suffix in the Gemara here? So the way the Rashi explains it is that it might be considered to be too much of a tircha. Do we consider this an excessive tircha to, you know, to allow you to carry these rocks up to the roof, or maybe not? So the Gemara says, Amar le gadol kvod abrios shadoches lo sase shabbat Torah. This is a famous line that you might remember back from Maseches Brachos, and comes up in a few other places also, where the Gemara says that kvod abrios, right, the idea of showing honor and respect and not being, you know, disgusting in front of other people, is so significant that it pushes aside even a lo sase in the Torah. Now, just to be fair, the Gemara in Brachos does amend this statement a little bit and say that it really just refers to Dirabanan. It doesn't really mean, like, for example, the Gemara says, let's say a person's in the middle of the street and they realize that they're wearing shatnez de oraisa. So the Gemara says that no matter how embarrassing it is, you have to take your clothes off in the middle of the street if it's de oraisa. If it's only shatnez de Rabbanan, so then already you could say, okay, it's kavod abrios. So again, the Gemara says that this idea of kavod abrios, it's significant. It's significant enough to push aside de Rabbanans, but not to push aside de oraisas. Okay.
What's the problem, Rabbi, that he's carrying rocks?
So again, because Rashi says, because the issue is that it's considered to be like an excessive tircha. That's the question. Meaning we know that, you know, apart from all the 39 malachos on Shabbos, which we know obviously you can't do, there are a number of things on Shabbos and which are actually, you know, much more difficult to define. Things like uvda dechol, things like tircha, things, these kind of very like amorphous terms that are like, don't work too hard, don't do weekday activities. Like, those are very, very difficult terms to define. And generally speaking, whenever the Gemara like can't find a reason to make something usher, it's like, oh yeah, maybe it's uvda dechol, maybe it's tircha. It's one of those like kind of like default things that like maybe it's usher because of that. So again, that's what Rashi is suggesting here, that maybe it's a problem of tircha. Okay.
Yeah. I lift weights in my
basement on Shabbos? In theory, I guess if you set it aside before Shabbos, I mean, exercising on Shabbos in general, most poskim assume might be a problem because it might be related to refuah, you know, interestingly, even though we don't, I mean, obviously it makes you healthy, but like, you know, we don't usually associate like a person who lifts weights with like, oh, maybe I'll grind up herbs and take medication, but like, we know that's the reason why we can't take medication in general on Shabbos, right? So some poskim think that maybe it's related to that, so it might be a problem anyway. Okay.
Doesn't this fall under the 40th malacha of it's not Shabbos dick?
You mean the fourth malacha? Not, yeah, I'm saying that's kind of my point from before. I'm saying that everything that you can't define as a malacha is really like, maybe it's uvda dechol, it's a weekday activity, or it's a tircha, or it's, you know, it's something. It's not technically a malacha, but it might still be a problem anyway. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yosef Mereimar v'ka'amar la'la ha'shmaita, Esivei Ravina le'mereimar, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Notel Adam Kesa Mishalafanav Lachtos Boshinav, V'chachamim Omerim Lo Yitol Elamin Ha'ivus Shal Behema. We have a machlokas now between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding, in other words, taking a toothpick on Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, let's say, for example, I have some wood chips in front of me. So he says, on Shabbos, I can bend down, I can pick one up, and I can use it to pick my teeth. It's not a problem. Whereas the Chachamim say that you can only take the wood chips if they come from like the animal trough. In other words, if they were, which basically means that they were specifically set aside from beforehand. So the Gemara says, don't you see that even for kavod abrios purposes, because again, the assumption is that picking your teeth, if you don't pick your teeth, if there's something caught in your teeth, it's going to be disgusting. You see that you still have to set it aside from before Shabbos, at least according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, not true. Hachi hashda, hasam adam kovea makom lesuda, hacha adam kovea makom levesa kisei. So the Gemara rejects this comparison. The Gemara says, in the case of the toothpicks, right, of a meal, you know where you're going to be having your meal, so just make sure before Shabbos that you put some toothpicks there. But in the case of the bathroom, the assumption was that a person has no idea where they're going to go to the bathroom, because again, back then when there were outhouses and you went to the bathroom outdoors, you can go to the bathroom anywhere, so it doesn't make sense realistically to set aside bathroom rocks in that case. Okay. Amar Rav Huna, Asur Lefanos Bestay Nir B'Shabbos, a person is not permitted to defecate in a plowed field on Shabbos. So my time, what's the issue exactly? Ilema Mishum Davsha Afilu B'chol Nami. If the concern is that you're going to be like ruining the field, right, you're going to be preventing things from growing in the field, that's a problem during the week also. Ve'elam Yishum Asavim, this relates to what Asher was mentioning before. If it's the question regarding using grass to wipe yourself with, so the Gemara says, that's also not a problem. Ve'ha'amar Reish Lakish, The Gemara says that if, let's say I have a rock where there's grass growing on it, I'm actually allowed to wipe myself with that as long as I don't actually or actively pluck the grass off of the rock. If I pluck it off the rock intentionally, that's a malacha d'oraisa of tolish, obviously. But if the grass is, but if you don't pluck it off the rock, then it should be fine. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says the concern here is that maybe you took some dirt and then you basically put it into a hole. Let's say a person went to the bathroom in the field and then they wanted to cover up the feces by taking some dirt and covering it up. So we already mentioned this in the Gemara earlier, that Rabba holds that if a person fills up a hole on Shabbos, so if you do that in your house, that's an Isra of Boneh. If you do it in the field, it's a Malacha of Choresh. So that is the potential concern with defecating in a plowed field on Shabbos. Okay. The Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Reish Lakish, Tzuror She'alu Bo Asavim Mutter Lekanech, Bava HaTolish Mimena B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatos. Again, what we just said before. If I have a rock with grass growing on it, I can wipe myself with that. But again, I'm not allowed to pluck the grass off of the rock. Amar of Papi, Shma Mina Mida Reish Lakish, Hay Parfisa Shari L'Taltula. You see from the statement of Reish Lakish that a parfisa, which is basically a flower pot with a hole in the bottom, one is permitted to carry that on Shabbos. Because the assumption is that if Reish Lakish is saying I can take a rock with grass on it and wipe myself, so presumably I could take a flower pot with a hole in it also. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Just because we're allowing you to take a rock with grass on it because you have to wipe yourself, that's actually a necessity. Who says you have to carry a flower pot on Shabbos? Like, what's the purpose of carrying a flower pot? So the Gemara says, okay, Amar Abaye Parfis to Hov Asa Liadon Lema Be Milsa. Like, now that you mentioned a flower pot with a hole, let me tell you a halacha about it. He says, Hayamunach Agabe Karka Vihinicho Agabe Yesedos Michaya Mishim Tolesh. Basically, if you take a flower pot that was resting on some pegs and you put them on the ground, that's an isser of notay. It's almost like you're planting. Again, the assumption being that there's a hole in the bottom of the flower pot. And if you do the opposite, if you pick it up from the ground and put it on the pegs, that's like a malacha of tolish, as if you're plucking it out of the ground. Okay. Yeah.
What is it? This is Dava Shalom Mitkaven. This is Rabbi Shimon. Why do
I don't. Well, you could say that, but you could probably also say it's a psik resha. This gets into a different discussion. This kind of a flower pot is what we call an utzitz nukav. It means it's a flower pot with a hole in it. So in halacha, we view a flower pot with a hole as if it's attached to the ground, right? So because it's attached to the ground, it therefore will meet the standards of pulling anything else out of the ground, right? Of plucking normal things out of the ground, right? So that's basically the Gemara's point.
But the issue is
Davos, no, but again, it you're right. But again, even Reb Shimon agrees that when it's a psik resha, it's a problem. Remember, that's where we've seen that already, right? If I pick the flower pot off the ground or off the pegs and move it around, so that's, it's going to be a psik resha, right? Because I'm for sure, you know, moving it around. So the Gemara assumes that's going to be a problem. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also lekaneach becheres b'Shabbos. A person is not permitted to wipe themselves with earthenware on Shabbos. So my time, ilema mishum sakana afilu b'chol nami. If it's because you're afraid that you're gonna, you know, maybe cut yourself back there, so then that should be a problem during the week as well, not just on Shabbos. The elam mishum kshafim afilu b'chol nami lo. And if it's gonna be, and if you're concerned that somehow earthenware is a concern of witchcraft, we'll see in the second Gemara why earthenware is a problem of witchcraft. So then that should also be a problem during the week. Why dafka on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, you're right. The elam maybe the concern is you're going to pull out some hairs. The Gemara says, okay, but davar shei misgavinu, right? Just like Yaakov was saying before, it's a davar shei no misgavin, right? That's not your intention. So Amar luhu Rav Nosson Bar Oshi, a gavra rabba Amar milsa name of a taima. He said, someone great like Rav Yochanan said a halacha, we have to explain it. He says, lo mi boya b'chol da'aser, aval b'shabes, ho v'ika toras kliol of shapir dame, kamash malan. The Gemara says that one might have thought, for some strange reason, that actually it's more of a problem to use earthenware during the week than on Shabbos. Why? Because on Shabbos, at least, you can argue that it has the status of a kli, that maybe it's considered like a piece of toilet paper, therefore it's permitted for me to use it. So no, kamash malan, that even on Shabbos it's a problem. Meaning during the week it's for sure a problem to use because of sakana or because of witchcraft or, you know, or for whatever reason. But I might have thought that on Shabbos it's okay because maybe on Shabbos it has the status of a kli. So no, you see that on Shabbos it's a problem. Okay. Rava masnila mishum asharas nimen v'kashilei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rava thought the reason why you're not allowed to wipe with earthenware is because you're going to pull out hairs, and therefore he was posed with the contradiction of Rabbi Yochanan. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan aser lekaneach becharis b'shabbes alma davar shein miskavin aser. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that I'm not allowed to wipe with earthenware on Shabbos, which would therefore lead me to believe that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a davar shein miskavin is aser because he's so concerned about the hairs being pulled out, even though that's not your intention, but maybe he thinks that it doesn't matter what your intention is, it should be aser anyway. The problem with that is, however, the amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha kastam mishnah usna nazir chofev u'mefaseis avolo sorik. This is the famous mishnah which we quoted before and which we're going to continue to quote later in this Masechta, regarding a Nazir. We know that a Nazir, one of the many Isurim about a Nazir is that he's not allowed to pull out his hair, right? Or in other words, he can't shave his hair. So the Mishnah, Masechta's Nazir, says that a Nazir can, you know, he can comb his hair, he can twirl his hair, he can, you know, curl his hair, whatever, but he's not allowed to take an actual brush or comb and actually start combing his hair, because that's going to pull the hairs out, for sure. So the Gemara says, don't you see from here that Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan allows you to just, you know, curl the hair with your hand, where there's still a possibility that hairs may get pulled out, he obviously wasn't concerned about that. So clearly he does not subscribe to the problem of davar she'eino miskavin, right? So the question is, how can Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand tell you don't wipe with cheres on Shabbos? Sounds like he holds of davar she'eino miskavin because he's concerned about the hairs getting pulled out. On the other hand, he lets the Nazir use his hands to kind of, you know, brush his hair or whatever, comb his hair, even though there's a chance that hairs may get pulled out. So that sounds like he's not concerned for davar she'eino miskavin. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela mechfarta kid Rav Nosson bar Oshia. It must be that Rav Nosson bar Oshia's pshat in the Gemara was correct. In other words, that the idea being that really it's a problem across the board. Okay. The Gemara now says, Mike Shuffin, why exactly is earthenware a problem of sorcery? So these two Amoraim, they were traveling on a boat. This non-Jewish woman asked to sit next to them. So they didn't allow her to sit with them. So Amra Ihi Milsa Asarta Larva. So she did some sort of a witchcraft, right? She said some kind of incantation, and the boat stopped. So Amru Inhu Milsa Sharyos. So they said some other, you know, they said Shema Hashem or something like that, and then their saying of Shema Hashem caused the boat to continue. So Amru Luhu, so she said to them, Ma'i Avid Luhu, what can I do to possibly stop you? Dolo Mekaneach Luhu B'chaspa, Velo Kata Luhu Kina Amanaichu, Velo Shalav Luhu Yarka V'achil Luhu Mikisha Da'asir Gina'a. You don't wipe with earthenware, you don't take, kill lice that fly onto your clothing, and you don't eat vegetables that were planted by the gardener when they're still in their bundle. So apparently all three of these activities were, could potentially lead to witchcraft. Again, the point of this story is just to show that using earthenware, wiping with earthenware, could potentially lead to being susceptible to witchcraft. And since these Amorim didn't do that, therefore they were, basically they were like immune from any sort of witchcraft.